You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a busy Monday afternoon, so let's get right down to business. Steve Merrill will join us as he does every Monday. We'll break down Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. The Toronto Blue Jays behind the eight ball. They send out Marcus Stroman to the hill tonight. Trevor Bauer counters for the Tribe. Blue Jays were in a similar situation last year against the Kansas City Royals. Won the next two games at home. They'll have to do the same. Must-win situation. They're not coming back from 0-3. They've got to start hitting the baseball. And I don't know what's stupider. Donald Trump stating that the voting system is rigged. Listen, Don, the media is rigged. Voter fraud, non-existent, all right? Maybe a couple of votes fall through the cracks. But if you lose, it's not going to be because of voter fraud. It's because you're a dumbass. And if the Toronto Blue Jays lose, it's not because of circumstances. Dun, 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 circumstances. What the hell does that mean? Circumstances. Jose Bautista, circumstances. I don't know. You know what? I see circumstances too, Bautista. You know what circumstance I see? I see that you're hitting 3-for-21 in the series. It's not the umpire's fault. It was circumstances. Yeah, circumstances. Andrews Miller is better than you guys. Here's your circumstance. Come on. The ump's fault? Yeah, it's the ump's fault. You guys aren't hitting the baseball, right? Must-win situation tonight. We break it down with Steve Merrill. Oh, yeah, we got a Monday Night Football game tonight. I told you guys that it would be an entertaining week of NFL play, and it actually was. And I got a feeling tonight's game won't totally suck. Yeah, it's the Jets. It's the Cards. I guess when they scheduled this, they had high expectations. But I've got high expectations as far as points being put on the board tonight. And Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. Paul Bovey will step up and join us. We'll talk some fantasy football with Greg Sussman, Sports Grid, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Network. Greg Sussman steps up and in as well. As I stated, we've got a very busy show, so let's get right down to business and start things off with a very popular segment that we like to call Who Ruined Your Sunday? Now, first things first, if you watched our bold predictions of Week 6 on Friday's program and the video that was posted, you would know that I told you that Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys were going to go into Lambeau and not only cover the point spread, but win the game outright. I told you that Dak Prescott would outperform the league darling Aaron Rodgers. Now, I've always been perplexed by the fact that Cam Newton was a villain for celebrating by giving footballs to children, and it was somehow arrogant for doing a Superman pose, yet Aaron Rodgers somehow made millions of dollars with his discount double check. So I'm assuming right now that a discount double check means that you get a rebate every time Aaron Rodgers turns the ball over more than once in a game. State Farm's going broke. There's your new discount double check. As the Dallas Cowboys got a discount double check yesterday from Aaron Rodgers, but no, it can't be his fault. Hey, Jordy Nelson's there now. Whose fault is it? Is it Brett Favre's fault? Bart Starr. So it can't be Aaron Rodgers' fault. I'm tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers. Last night, they're talking about, you know, elite quarterbacks. Well, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. You know, Aaron Rodgers has as many Super Bowl championships as Trent Dilfer does, all right? Like, let's chill out here. Discount double check. Rebates for everyone. It's like Oprah. Here's a car for you. Here's an interception for you. Here's a fumble for you. But you know what? I was on the Dallas Cowboys. I told you that Odell Beckham would have a huge game and not score one touchdown, but two touchdowns. I gave you the final score in the Buffalo Bills game. I told you the Falcons would beat the Seattle Seahawks or at least cover. They should have beaten them. They didn't. But as good as our bold predictions of the weekend were, you know, we're a degenerate compulsive gambler and we have like 302 bets. So those were only a few. So you know there were a few teams that ruined our Sunday along the way. And let's start off with the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, you know, listen, after getting burnt last week in Dallas, I wasn't insane enough to take them plus the points against the Patriots. But usually, like at like 12:58, you know, I start getting crazy, man. I'm like, you know, I'm like Homer Simpson at a buffet. I'm just like, I can't stop. I'm like, yeah. I'll take the Bengals. Take the Bengals on a teaser with the Cleveland Browns. You know, I had the Browns plus 14. They lost by two. I had the Cincinnati Bungles. They're up 14-10 early in the third quarter. And then the wheels fell off. Now, we've heard a lot about the Cincinnati Bengals being unable to win in the playoffs. That's not going to be a problem this year, all right? Because they're not going to the playoffs of this year. And once again, even though I had the Cincinnati Bungles plus 16.5 points, they still ruined my Sunday. So let's stick in this piece of crap division. And let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that plays up or down to the level of competition. And here's Big Ben Roethlisberger once again. He goes down. Antonio Brown. What, 3 fantasy points from Antonio Brown. The dude's been a bust, man. All right? You know what? Yesterday, I was thinking about it. I had 3 pieces of pizza. All right? I made a mistake and ordered a medium and split it. Bad idea. Gotta get a large at least. I had wings, too. But I had 3 slices of pizza. 6 slices in the medium pizza. So my 3 pieces, I had as many slices of pizza as Antonio Brown did fantasy points. Like, when you're eating the same amount of slices of pizza, like, you want to pound back 27 wings. You want to pound back 34 wings to get LeSean McCoy's points. 3. Thanks, Antonio. He's not worth the first overall pick in season-long leagues, and he certainly ain't worth the 10 dimes or so you're laying every week in DFS. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they screwed me against the Philadelphia Eagles. Time and time again, they play up or down to the level of competition, and once again, the Pittsburgh Steelers ruin my Sunday. Now listen, I knew this game was a trap. I'm not laying 7 points even against the pathetic Miami Dolphins, all right? But once again, I got roped in by a teaser. One of these sweetheart teasers. You know, I don't know whoever invented the word teasers, the same person that invented the word lap dance. Because it's the same thing. It's the exact, like, I like to would have been in, like, the bit of the room with the mobsters at the time. Some dude named Gino and Frankie were sitting there. How about we add on 12 points, but you got to pick 4 games, and we'll call it a teaser, because we'll tease them into thinking they're going to get something out of it. Just like a lap dance. And like I say, close only counts, what, with grenades and lap dances, evidently. So I had the Pittsburgh Steelers. I had them plus 5.5. You're 7.5. Boy, I got you 5.5 point underdogs. If the piece of crap Miami Dolphins are going to win, they got to win by 6 or more for me to lose my wager. And of course, the other 3 bets won. And of course, the Miami Dolphins drill the Pittsburgh Steelers, who ruined my Sunday. You really screwed me good, guys. And I'm getting sick of it. And we'll close it up with the Chicago Bears. And I can't really blame them, because I'm the stupid, pathetic, slow-witted, dumb, bald man who bet on these piece of crap Chicago Bears. And, you know, the Bears have been compared to the Bad News Bears. That's not fair to the Bad News Bears. I don't want anyone talking crap about Buttermaker. What about little Tanner Boyle? Tanner Boyle will give you something. Oh, you know, the Bad News Bears. If memory serves me correctly, it's a great movie. Memory serves, they actually made it to the championship game. And you know what? They lost 7-6 to the hated Yankees. But what did little Tanner Boyle tell the Yankees after? See you next year, bitches, because that's where your hopes are. Next year in Chicago. You ruined my Sunday. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. We are live continues. Man, I haven't started sweating like that. I'm sweating more than the Cincinnati Bengals did yesterday. I put more effort into that than the Bengals game. All right, so I see we got a nice, we got a football helmet, NFL football. Red Hot Buffalo Bills. The Toronto Blue Jays are playing. Oh, yeah, Cubs. How about them Dodgers? Fantasy Sports Network. And we have everything here, except, like, wouldn't it make sense if we had, like, a Cleveland Indians hat and maybe an L.A. Dodger hat? Wherever you are, wherever that hat is, there's a special place in hell for you, you son of a bitch. We're going to find you. We're going to find it. We're going to find you. Like, this, you know, we're going to find out what happened to this. It's the last thing I do. We're going to find out where these hats are. It's not a coincidence. Like, it can't be a coincidence. Like, oh, the Dodgers are good. Now the Dodger hat's gone. The Indian hat's gone. Like, It's, you know what? It's ruining my Monday. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, I did not take the hats.
No, we can't blame you. We can, no, we can't. But you know, I swear, Steve, we had all. We started out the season with all 30 Major League Baseball teams, Steve. And like as the year went on, like the collection got a little smaller, and like you know, there's no Jays hat. We got this like spring training, some sort of batting practice Jays hat going here. We got a Cubs hat still. So every day there's no Cub fans here. Like I don't know. I it's perplexing, Steve. Like who would want the hat? Who's taking the hats? But the hats are gone.
Yeah, all the good teams are gone. You've got a lot of Minnesota Twin and Atlanta Braves and Arizona Diamondback hats in the storage closet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The D-back hat's still here. The Marlins hat's still here. All right, Steve. So Major League Baseball playoffs rolling along through four games of the Championship League series. The unders are 3-1. You think this? You know, you think it's because if there were all the aces on the hill in the first couple of games, and then it sort of you know the runs will start to pile on? Because I'm looking at the total tonight at 8.5, and I can't really take the over. We should mention the Dome's going to be closed tonight, so you know the ball could travel a little bit. Overall, home teams are 13-8 in postseason play, and in the Championship League series, is the under is 3-1 through four games.
Well, it's always hard to play the over in these games because, you know, they use any pitcher necessary. They try to nickel and dime and score runs at a time. In fact, even the games that really come close to the totals could have easily stayed under. And the reason I remember that is because I had the under 7 in the game 5 of the NLDS on Thursday night between the Dodgers and Nationals, and it was 1-0 going into the 7th inning. It looked like an easy under and ended up being happy just to get a push at 4-3. And the one problem bringing all those pitchers in, like we saw with the Nationals, is that they have no momentum. They have no consistency, and that's when they got in some trouble. I thought it was interesting last night when they let Kershaw bat and then brought him back for just one more inning. Most of the time, you would have definitely pulled your pitcher at that point late in the game, but they knew he was on fire and got to give him credit. You know, he was only on 4 days rest and he had that relief appearance just a few days earlier, so it wasn't really a full rest. And we know about his playoff numbers being subpar, but he came out and pitched like the stud pitcher he is.
Yeah, so, we got to throw that out now. Like he just did like Madison Bumgarner. Like this was epic, Steve.
Exactly. Come on, sample size.
Yeah, the guy.
I think he had like 14 postseason appearances before that. So, you know, it was a little dicey still. And I guess we could say that was just a fluke.
No, in a span of what, about 4 or 5 days, he pitched two games and an inning of relief. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, and Jensen, Kenley Jensen and him, they're carrying them. Like, they basically said after, like, it's a two-man operation. Listen, I'm a Dodger fan. There's something special about this team. I said this, like, in August, that they're not soft. They're not flaky like they have been in past years, and there's something special about Bip Roberts, man, as the manager, Dave. I'm getting sentimental here, and maybe it's like Field of Dreams, but we're talking about a dude, man, that stole that second base. Like that whole rally never happens. The historic Red Sox thing never happens. The curse isn't broken if he doesn't steal that base like he did. And now in the playoffs, like even he said last night, he said, I'm going with my gut. Like, they're not even going by numbers. He goes, I've managed with my gut in the playoffs. Like, he goes, I looked in Kershaw's eyes, I had a feeling, and that's how he's managing. And he's like a hot gambler right now, this guy.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Because like I said earlier, I don't think you'd ever let the pitcher hit late in the game just to pitch him one more inning when he was questionable to come back. But that was definitely a gut call because the numbers would have said, you know, bring your bullpen in, especially with a guy like Kershaw who was already on limited rest from a few days earlier with that relief appearance. And you look at momentum. We always talk about momentum. You know, the Dodgers down 2-1 in the best of five series. They win game 4 at home. They go to the road and they win game 5 at Washington. And now they've carried that momentum a bit. You know, getting split in Chicago was big. In fact, the series price now, they're plus 155. They were plus 185 when the series began. So they're actually lower odds now, even with it at 1-1. You know, you'd think it'd be a little bit lower since they're back at home for game 3 tomorrow and they're just a slight dog. In fact, Hill has better numbers this year than Arrieta. So I think the Dodgers are definitely in this series. The big thing for me was, could Kershaw go in game 2 and could he pitch well? That was the real X factor, and we saw that he could, obviously. He'll be back, you know, for probably, I guess, game 5. And shoot, they maybe could bring him in game 7. Definitely could bring him in the bullpen if they go that far.
Oh, yeah, he'll be seen 2 or 3 more times before this thing's all said and done. I wanted to move off for this. I wasn't planning on talking about the Dodgers, actually. But you mentioned a plus 155. I think the Dodgers are going to win this series. But without being stated, Steve, the Cubs are the America's team right now. They're the favorite. favorites. They're the public team. So from a number standpoint, do you take the Dodgers at plus 155, or you just bet the Dodgers, you know, game by game here?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I still think the Cubs are the much better team overall. So in a full series, that's tough. I think maybe Hill at plus money price could be attractive because they probably need to win this game. You know, if they get down 1-2, it's probably over.
Well, I just say that, Steve, because any game that they play at Wrigley, the Cubs are going to be big favorites in.
Right. Well, that's true also. Yeah, I think you probably get a better price just playing it game by game because you're going to get the Dodgers plus money almost every game except with Kershaw.
Yeah. All right. So tonight, Trevor Bauer, Marcus Stroman. I don't know if you saw Blue Jays right fielder Bautista says there's circumstances working against the Jays. He's going conspiracy theory. He won't say what it is. He's clearly talking about the umps. You know, listen, I looked at a chart, actually, of the umps in the first two games. Both the umps had a big strike zone. The Cleveland Indian pitchers were working the corners. The Jays did it. Bautista's 3-for-21 in the playoffs. It's not the umps' fault. Man, the guy's just, you know, that's what he does, man. And, you know, it's not like basketball where you work the ref, Steve, and you get the next soft call. Umpires, they don't like being called out. And he has a bad reputation. I don't think it helps the Jays with him blaming the umps.
No, I mean, what, the umps in the league, they want Cleveland in the World Series? Like, they care which one of these teams advances. I mean, the Red Sox were their team. If that was the case, the Indians wouldn't even have gotten to this round. So, yeah, I don't buy that. I think the pitching matchup is interesting. Now, obviously, Stroman was fantastic in both of his career starts this year against the Indians. 1.29 ERA, gave up only 2 runs in 14 innings. Meanwhile, Bauer has 3 career starts. He was terrible last year, 11 runs in 6 innings. But this year, he gave up only 2 runs in 8 innings in 1 start. So, you know, what numbers do we go on? If you look at the career numbers, it's a huge edge for Toronto. But Bauer did pitch well. With that said, the minus 175 is just inflated. My power ratings actually make it minus 135, Gabe. So I know it's a must win. I know they have the pitching edge, but it's hard to say there's much value at that number.
No, you're exactly right. There's no value. I thought the Jays are going to win the series. The Jays don't win tonight. They're finished. So I'm sort of all in with this. But you're right. There's no value at all with the 75 sets. One thing with Stroman, he's a competitive dude. He's a young dude, but he's a competitive guy. He's confident. You know, he was in the playoffs last year. He got the call for that wild card game against Baltimore, Steve, and he pitched well. So, you know, you've got a guy here that can handle the moment, at least if you're the Jays. They need to get out early here, and they can't get in one of these low-scoring, stressed-out games, which is probably going to end up being. I'm leaning with the Jays, but I'll tell you, Steve, even if they win tonight, man, they're in tough. Last 28 times in the championship series, Steve, teams that had a 2-0 series lead, they're 25-3.
You know what's also interesting, Gabe? This is the third straight game in this series in which the money line favorite for the game is the underdog in the series. Yeah, we've seen it in all three games. I don't think I've ever seen that happen this far. And we talked about game one, you know, on Friday, how the Indians were home favorite. They were dog in the series. But then Saturday, Toronto was a road favorite, but then the adjusted dog. And now they're a big home favorite, and they're a plus 240 dog for the series now.
It's funny that the odds makers are almost like that gambler. They're like, well, the Indians are better, but, you know what I mean? It's always that.
So it's like, you know, the situation favors Toronto tonight, but the team's up 2-0, so obviously they have to be favored to win the series. So, yeah, it's interesting. All three games.
All right, so we got another game tonight. Monday Night Football, Jets and Cards. Teams come in with a combined 3-7 record. You look at that NFC West, you know, yeah, it's doubtful that the Rams are as good as their record says they are coming, as we've seen. You know, are they going to be there at the end of the season? San Francisco's not in a picture. So if you're Arizona, you're really dealing with Seattle. Seattle were real lucky yesterday. There was blatant pass interference, and they screwed the Falcons late. They really did. You know, Richard Sherman was riding them. Like, he grabbed him for like 5 seconds on Julio Jones. But nevertheless, I don't really trust the Cards laying 7.5 tonight, but I do think they're going to win. I like the over tonight, Steve. I think there's going to be some points on the board.
Well, a teaser is obviously a decent look. This line is 7 in some spots, as you said, 7.5 in others. You know, once it gets to 7.5, you're almost better off teasing it down to 1.5. The thing that jumps out at me about these two teams is going into last week, the Jets had 11 turnovers in 2 games. The Arizona Cardinals had 10 turnovers in 2 games. They both went 0-2 straight up in ATS. Last week, both teams had no turnovers. This is often how it happens. The Cardinals win by 12 in cover. Jets still lose by 18 at Pittsburgh with no turnovers. That's a pretty bad bad sign. And on Monday Night Football, you would expect now with Palmer back, this would be a focus spot for Arizona. But yeah, the Jets have just been terrible with or without turnovers.
You know, the Jets are, yeah, everyone picks on Pickpatrick, and with good reason, including myself. We'll get you hit. You like that?
I like that. I hadn't heard that before. That's great.
Yeah, no, I'm the king of the nicknames this year. I'm surprised. No, everyone's like, oh, Pickpatrick. That's great. I'm like, yeah, I've been saying it for years. How about my other one, Steve? The Hunter Henry kid on San Diego. Hunter Hurst Henry.
Nice.
That's gold. That one's gold. But as far as Fitzpatrick, everyone's talking and bitching about Fitzpatrick, and justifiably so. But the fact is, the Jets' defense, the pass defense, has been terrible. They're giving up 302 yards a game. You can look at the yards per game, but 9.2 yards per pass play, Steve. Quarterbacks draw back. They're picking up 9 yards a pass.
Yeah, I mean, people that don't study stats like we do might not realize what a terrible number that is, but anything like around 7 gets dicey. So, I mean, 9 is just horrendous. But what's crazy is their run defense is the best overall. They give up only 68 yards a game and 3 yards a carry, and they've been losing all those games. So it should be the exact opposite. You know, teams should be running for 150 yards in garbage time. Their pass defense is so bad, when teams are winning, they're still throwing on
them. But it's amazing, Steve. We have a real dichotomy here, because let's look at the Cardinal numbers. They're getting lit up on the ground, but they're great through the air.
and their passing numbers for the season are way below average from offensively. Yeah. But then again, you look at the 5 games, the only game which they didn't throw for a lot of yards was last week without Palmer. So those numbers are a little bit skewed. And if he's healthy, he should have a big game here tonight.
Yeah, but his prop was 269.5 yards, Steve. I can't lay 270 yards for Palmer coming
especially
back.
Especially with a 7-point favorite who should have the lead at some point.
Yeah, you know what? I'm playing Fitzpatrick over 240.5 yards. He's gone over that number in 3 of the 5 games. And I don't see it. I think the Jets are going to be playing from behind a little bit. I like the Fitzpatrick over 240 yards, Steve.
And I'll take any over interception props with him as well. He did not throw a pick last week, so we know how that works out.
All right. Well, it's amazing, Steve. And I don't know. I should have bet on him. I didn't. I didn't bet on this race. I'm gonna start getting back into it, though. I'm going to watch the Talladega race. But can't believe it. We talked about it. We said, man, Harvick needs a win. He better win. And he said, well, you know, last time he was in this spot, he called it and he did it. But that was at Phoenix. Well, he did it anyway. It's unbelievable. He did it again. Wins the Hollywood Casino 400.
Yeah, he dominated Kansas. He had the best driver rating over the past 3 years coming into that race. So it's not like that was a bad track for him. But yeah, it's still big time. You have to respect it. You know, it's like LeBron in the playoffs. I enjoy watching like some greats really turn it up when it matters, like Kershaw last night. And Harvick's, you know, some guys like him, some guys don't. But he's big time. And he got it done. And now you go to Talladega, which is the worst race to bet on probably other than Daytona all season, because it's a total crapshoot roll of the dice. And it's going to be interesting. We got 3 guys tied right there at that cutoff spot. The only guy that's really on the outside now is Chase Elliott, who had trouble yesterday. But it's wide open. And there's only 2 or 3 guys behind the 2 wins. I think Kenseth, maybe Kyle Busch, and there's one other guy, I think Edwards, that are pretty safe. They're like 28 points up. But even then, they could fall out in just one race at Talladega. I think from a handicapping perspective, though, you got to be very careful with those guys that are 20-some points up, because all they're going to do is just try to stay out of trouble. They're not going to try to win or get anywhere near the front if they don't have to.
Yeah, they're either in the front or the back, right?
Right, exactly. That's the problem. Though. You want to be at the front, because if you're not at the front, you almost
have to be. That's a good point, because they're going to be because you're literally the front. You want to be in the front, or at least 40th. first few rows. But you're right. Otherwise, you're better off being in last place almost and just waiting and, watching and going through. We got to get out of here, but it's amazing. Suddenly, so there's 6 spots up right now. There's 6 spots for grab. They're going to Talladega, plate race, total crapshoot, and suddenly a guy who's behind the 8 ball is Keselowski. And Keselowski needs a big finish here, but similar to Harvick, he's a 4-time winner at Talladega. So, yeah, it's a crapshoot, but he does have a tendency to race well in these play races.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the other guy, other than Chase Elliott, that's really kind of behind is Keselowski. I forgot to mention him, but the difference, of course, is Elliott's never won. Keselowski's won a lot and on restrictor plate tracks, so he could pull a Harvick moment, and he's a cup champion as well.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, also one of the covers experts. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to kick it Vegas style. Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com, Greg Sussman coming up as well. All that and more. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. All right. Thanks to Steve Merrill for joining us on the show. Let's bring in a good friend of ours, Paul Bovey. I look forward to starting to talk basketball with Paul. We'll figure out whether Paul stays on Mondays or we'll move it to another day. But nevertheless, basketball, NBA basketball returns next week, next Tuesday night. But let's talk some NFL football. We'll get to tonight's Monday nighter. But, you know, I figured we do a little recap. Paul's a native New Yorker, now out there on the West Coast. We got the New York Jets playing tonight, and I saw Paul melting down yesterday during the New York Giant game on Twitter. And of course, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, and we've won and covered four in a row. So I figured, hey, why not let's get into the Empire's frame of mind here. A little New York State recap for those of you watching on Cablevision and Optimum in the New York and New Jersey areas. Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com, joins us. Paul, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Doing great, Gabe. Yes, I did melt down during that game. There was an interference call. I've never seen anything like it. It was called defensive pass interference. Clearly, the receiver from Baltimore just put his hands over the defender's back and interfered with him, and they called it defensive PI. Blew up my team total on the Ravens under. It was worth a computer, unfortunately, but I'll get that taken care of.
So, I have a segment that I do every Monday, actually, and I feel I got screwed over in the Seahawks game. I had the Falcons on the money line. Whatever. They blew it late. They came back, and then they blew it, but Julio Jones got interfered with, and they probably come back and win that football game, but hey, it is what it is. But I saw you melting down yesterday during the game. I assume that you had money on the Giants. I had the Giants, and I've had the Giants two times already this year, and they won both the games that I was on, and they didn't cover, Paul. So freaking frustrating, this Giant football team, aren't they? You watched the entire game yesterday, and I came close to smashing my computer a couple of times. For the record, I once threw a hammer through a television set, live on the radio, actually. It caused like a toxic environmental problem. I had an HR problem the next day. One of the ladies that worked at the network complained that I was a madman smashing TVs with a hammer, and there was glass flying everywhere. And they weren't happy about that, Paul. But so at what point was it, the pass interference penalty? And how did you break the computer? Like the laptop, did you slam it down? Did you throw it? Did you punch it? How did you break it?
I had a pen in my hand, and I threw it, and the pen hit the screen, and you could see the mark where the pen hit the screen, and now I have this big line going down the screen. So obviously, I have to get that resolved unless I want to deal with this ad infinitum, but I will. But your story trumps mine. Gabe, that makes for great reality television.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I actually threw a computer once, too. I sort of knocked it. I had a computer once on a desk. And in disgust, I sort of like did the swipe. I was like, ah! And I yelled the F word very loud. And I just sort of like swatted the laptop. But I've gone through a lot of laptops over the years, to be honest with you. But, Paul, so you didn't have a piece of the Giants at all, eh? Just the team total.
No, I did have the Giants, but I had a double win at that point because I laid 3.5. I'm not sure what you laid on the game, but I laid 3.5, and I had some money line. So I had the team total on the plus the Giant win, and it turned into a split. But I had more money on the team total.
Yeah, I say same way with me, actually, with a Falcon game. So I had the Falcons plus the points, but I missed out on a nice plus 230 money line. All right, so before we get to the New York Jet team, the New York State team in green, let's talk about the other guys in blue. The Buffalo Bills really circling the wagons right now. Rex Ryan says, yeah, I know we're playing boring football, but we're winning games. And I don't really know if it's boring, man. They're hanging 40-plus on the board every second week, it seems. They're a running juggernaut. LeSean McCoy, ever since they fired their offensive coordinator, they just went, like, simple. Like, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And, the Wildcats, let's run the ball 48 times, and let's blitz the crap out of the other team, and it's working.
Gabe, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm sorry. They beat a pathetic team on defense. The 49ers can't stop the run. And if you look back at a few of these wins, the Rams, they had a 3-0 turnover edge. Arizona, a 5-1 turnover edge. And they faced no quarterback with the Patriots. So I don't really think they've proven anything in these four games, but they can win by feasting on turnovers or being lucky. They were lucky to face the Patriots and have the quarterback get hurt. Garoppolo didn't play, Brady didn't play, and then the third stringer goes out of the game.
You think that they fall back down to earth this week? They're laying 3 on the road at Miami.
Actually, it nudged down to 2.5, and I think Miami will beat them.
I just want to bring up actually the Giants, because I was like, well, what's up next with the Giants? The Giants are a roller coaster like stress team, Paul. Like, I bet them, and I was almost just stubborn about they're in a good spot. I don't think much of Baltimore. I thought Baltimore were a fake 3-0 and would regress, and now they have their 3-3. Giants are going to London. We got that London game against the Rams this week. They're laying 2.5.
Gabe, the Giants suck, and you used the word last week, so I'm going to use it. That offense was pathetic yesterday. Yeah, Manning had great numbers at the end of the game, but there was a 75-yard catch, there was a 66-yard catch, and they didn't get the first touchdown till 4 minutes to go in the first half. They have absolutely no running game. And remember, they faced the Ravens yesterday without Steve Smith, and they also had an offensive lineman out, the Ravens did, that had played 53 consecutive games. It was no doubt their best guy. So I don't have a lot of faith in my team right now. They're just not moving the football the right way. And short of Beckham catching those passes yesterday, the Giants are nowhere.
No, you're right. And Beckham's antics are becoming a nuisance and a problem right now as well. Against the Rams, they're better than the Rams, though, aren't they?
Gabe, the Rams have been great. I mean, you look at that first 49er game, it was a debacle, and since then they've been competitive. Look, Keenum, 27-32 yesterday.
Yep.
Of course, that's against the Lions, but that's still a pretty good performance. The only thing is with the Rams, they're not running the ball. Gurley yesterday had his best average yards per carry at 4.1. Before then, he was in the twos, high twos, and low threes. He's just not running the football.
All right, Paul. So tonight's game, the New York Jets getting 7.5, I guess, at most spots right now. Carson Palmer returns as the quarterback of Arizona. And, you know, Carson Palmer wasn't really playing well, Paul, before he got hurt. One of the Bills' wins, actually, was the first game after they fired Greg Roman when they were 0-2. They kicked the crap out of the Cardinals. And you know, Carson Palmer was horrible. Carson Palmer wasn't playing well last year down the stretch either. We talked about that NFC Conference Championship game. Didn't play well in the preseason. Wasn't playing well. I'm interested to see if Palmer's finally going to play well tonight.
Well, a strategy based on hope is never a great strategy. You're right. He's not played well, and it's not a great spot for him because Mike Iupati, who's their very talented left guard, may very well be out, as will the right tackle, Humphreys. So in terms of pass protection, look, he's already been sacked 3 times by New England, and your Buffalo Bills sacked him 5 times. Todd Bowles is the defensive guy. He worked under Bruce Arians. You can count on him to dial up major pressure tonight. Look for him to be sacked 4 times, and he's going to have to dump the ball off quite a bit.
I like where you're going with that, actually. I didn't put the sack prop up, actually. Are you taking a look at that? I didn't look at it. Is it 4.5, though? I don't know. Maybe someone in the booth. If you guys are quick, you can let us know.
Oh, no. I looked at the props this morning. It's 5, but they have a separate number on Arizona at 2.5. Ooh, sure, I'd like to get 2 and lay 60 cents, but it's not happening. But I think you get the three.
What do you think about the pace tonight? Because there's interesting dynamic here. We brought it up earlier in which the New York Jets, so you mentioned this, they can't protect Palmer. He's about as mobile as the Statue of Liberty is. And he is throwing turnover. He is turning the ball over a lot. Interceptions, fumbles, etc. But the Jets give up 302 yards a game in the air. I'm not even sure Revis is playing. I don't even know if that matters at this point. They're giving up 302 yards. But they're only giving up. They're giving up like 65 yards a game or something on the ground. There's some weird dichotomies here. I mean, you got Arizona. Arizona are very good through the air, but they're horrible on the ground. So, like, you know, who's going to expose what weakness tonight? I guess that's the key to this game. Either way, Paul, I think it gets there as far as the over is concerned. I think there's going to be some points on the board tonight.
Gabe, I'm in disagreement with you. I think that the Arizona Cardinals have the best, arguably the best cornerback in the league. And he could certainly shut down Brandon Marshall. Patrick Peterson, quarterback rating against him of 30. 22 passes in his direction, only 9 completions. That's the best in the league. That's running at about 40%, 43%. I think both teams can stop the other team. I just think it's an inflated number. It actually opened up a little bit higher. Sure, I'd like to have the 47. I was there for a flash, but I don't. It's 45.5, and I think it can get. I think it does not get there. I just don't see these teams scoring a lot of points.
One thing, we got to get out of here, but the loss of Eric Decker has been devastating to them as well. Decker had touchdowns in 15 of his last 19 games before the injury. It was basically a touchdown a game and a great outlet for Ryan Fitzpatrick as well.
Yeah, but Anunua, and he's my prop for tonight, over 4.5 catches. Marshall had 15 and 12 targets the last 2 weeks. Anunua, 7-7. He's going to pick up some targets tonight, over 4.5.
I like where you're going with that as well. He's been a solid wide receiver for the Jets. Thanks for the time, Paul. Always a pleasure. Check out Paul, VegasInsider.com. Look for his link in the handicappers portion of the site. Always a pleasure, Paul. Paul Bovey with us. All right, we'll take a quick break. Greg Sussman joins us next. We're going to talk some fantasy football. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues weekdays at 2, replays at 5:30, simulcast on the radio. I guess it's not really simulcast, but replays on the radio at 5 o'clock. All right, Fantasy Sports Network Radio, get it on iTunes or your Android device. Let's bring in Greg Sussman, managing editor of SportsGrid.com. Greg, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
All right, let's call you the managing editor of SportsGrid.com, but you're probably the commissioner of the Fantasy Cup as well?
I guess. I'm the uncrowned commissioner of the Fantasy Cup with you.
Yeah, you're not getting $42 million like Goodell. That's you know.
No, I'm not making $42, much less $42
million. All right, so we figured we'd get people up to date with this a little bit, but I was wondering, how many teams make the playoffs in this format?
I believe 6 teams make the playoffs.
All right, good. So let's get the Fantasy Cup the standings, in which we've got the lovely Lisa Ann participating, former NFL standout, Keith Bullock, professional wrestler, Eric Young, and we got Scott Engel and Adam Ronis. So, a lot of usual suspects and athletic and pornographic fantasy experts. So I started out pretty rough here, Greg. Now, let's be honest. I started out rough at the draft because I drank about 14 Coronas, and I ended up taking Sammy Watkins and LeSean McCoy. I was mocked for it. How's LeSean McCoy looking right now, Greg?
LeSean McCoy is looking like one of the biggest steals of the draft. An obvious RB1 each and every week. Somebody that you've took in the second or third round that, well, probably should have been a first round pick.
Yeah, he's just lighting up. Since Roman's been kicked to the curb, last 4 games during the win streak, 470 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns for LeSean McCoy. And those other games, he was great, but he wasn't getting any end zone. It was nice to see him not only rack up the yards, but get in the end zone. But I started off the season 0-2, man. It was tough. The Bills were struggling. Watkins was giving me nothing. But I think I deserve some credit for replacing Watkins with Terrell Pryor. Scooping him up. No one saw him coming. Boom. I picked him up before the year started off of waivers, just sitting there, free agency. Pick him up. He's giving me more points than Watkins would have. Like 28 yesterday, Greg. Can't ask for more.
Terrell Pryor has become all of a sudden a must-start player. It's unbelievable. This is a guy that burned out as a quarterback in Oakland, and now he's by far the number one wide receiver in Cleveland. Almost an every week wide receiver, too. I got to ask you, though, Gabe, how nervous were you when LeSean McCoy went down yesterday?
Oh, I was pissed off as a Bills fan. I was pissed off from a fantasy. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I already lost Watkins, and now, like, I thought of the Fantasy Cup right away. That's why I was like, this can't be happening.
Right. Of course, they both played for your favorite team also. It wasn't just like, oh, I lost two of my players. It was, I lost the two players on my team.
I'll be honest. It's funny, too, in the selfish world that we live in. He's lying there still, and I think, oh, dear God, I have a lot of money on this game. And I'm like, okay, no, we can win the game. And then I wasn't even thinking about him. I was like, right away, I was like, man, I own this guy on like two or three teams. And I started thinking, and right away, I was like, if I lose this matchup to Lisa Ann today because he just got hurt in the middle of one of his best games of the year, I'm going to snap. Oh, and he came back, man.
We're all thinking like, all right, LeSean McCoy is hurt. Oh, this is so horrible. Let me go check out where Mike Gillisley is on the waiver wire.
Exactly. Well, I saw Drew. Yeah, Drew Livingston. In here. Drew, he tweeted out Gillisley, new number one running back in Buffalo. And I was like, and what I said too, I'm not a doctor, but I've been watching football a long time. I think McCoy heard something, felt a pop, maybe his kneecap out of place. I didn't hear the quote after, but it looked like it was one of those deals. Don't touch me. Hold on a minute. And it was sort of like it wasn't like freaked out. I saw him talking. He was sort of like something, he was like pointing and he was like, wait. And then when I saw him get up, and then you can see him laughing after, I think something just sort of cramped. It's happened to me, and I don't play football. My kneecap once popped out of place, Greg. You know what I mean? Stuff happens, you know?
My whole body cracks all the time. So maybe he just had like a knuckle crack and he thumped.
So I come into tonight. I'm 2-3. I lost my first two matchups, but I've been rolling along. And if I can win tonight, that's 3-1 in the last 4 weeks. I come in tied with Lisa Ann at 116 each. It's unbelievable. She's got no one left in the lineup. I've got Powell tonight. Dude, all I need is, like, give me a four-yard run, man, and I got this.
That's it. You need a four-yard run. You'll take a reception with a loss of yards, a point for reception. You don't care. As long as the ball goes in his hands at some point,
I know, but I lost a matchup last year where I was like, man, I need 5 points between. I forget, it was like two good guys. One of the guys got hurt right away, and the other guys suck. Look at yesterday. Oh, I want to get to this. My first overall pick, and this is, how about Antonio Brown, man? He had 3 points yesterday, Greg. I brought it up off the top. I had 3 slices of pizza yesterday. I split a medium pizza with someone. I had 3 slices of pizza. He had 3 fantasy points. That's not good when you're eating the same amount of slices as your first overall pick is. And you know, everyone has him first overall, and he's certainly not worth the risk of spending nearly $10,000 in DFS every week.
Absolutely not, especially with Ben Roethlisberger's injury. It's a meniscus surgery today. We know Ben's out this week, and teams always tend to be optimistic with injuries. They say he can return after the bye, but I'd be very, very nervous about Antonio Brown. He has never scored a touchdown with anybody at quarterback not named Ben Roethlisberger.
Wow.
Brown starts this Sunday with Landry Jones. No matter what the matchup is, and it is against the Patriots, that's really, really scary. You're going to see a ton of offers for Brown on your waiver wire here. It's really, really scary right now. If you spend a lot of money on Antonio Brown in DFS, and if you spend a first overall pick on him.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was thinking, you're spending $9,500 or whatever, $9,500. You're not getting 30 points back, you know, and it's just not worth it. Like, we talk about it in basketball. I don't even like those max players, but you do it for a Westbrook. You do it for DeMarcus Cousins because you know these son of a bitches are going to give you 68 DK points or whatever. But you're not getting it back with Brown.
In basketball, it's also a little bit different in DFS because if we have one point guard, not starting. We got a minimum price point guard off the bench. We can put in Westbrook, no problem. We can put in James Harden, no problem. And we can start Ty Lawson at point guard for the Kings with Darren Collison out, something like that. But in the NFL, we can't do that. We can guess. Like Cameron Meredith this week cost, what, $4,400, $4,600 on DraftKings on a Monday, Thursday game? That's nothing. That works. We believe in that. But more often than not, we're taking a huge risk. That's a big difference between the NFL and the NBA when you're playing daily.
You know, it's unbelievable, though. And Landry Jones, there's a lot of bad quarterbacking in the NFL, and there's a lot of bad backup quarterbacks in the NFL. And let's say he's one of them. They've cultivated this guy. They've tried to develop. He's been there. He knows the system. He's just not very good. Like, and I've watched him a lot, actually. All right, I've watched him a lot, and I'm a degenerate to watch his preseason games. He had a nice half against New Orleans in the preseason this year. Like, in like 3 years of action, Craig, that's what I can point to. He looked good against the Saints in the preseason once. He was like 19-21 or something. But what, you know, they'll be playing from behind against the Patriots at least, right? He'll have opportunities.
He'll have opportunities. You just need him to throw it to the right player. Now, the problem is the Patriots always take out, or seemingly always take out, the other team's best player. I know with AJ Green it didn't happen, but with a backup quarterback and your only weapon being Antonio Brown, like, I don't trust Sammy Coates. I don't trust Eli Rogers. I don't trust Marcus Wheaton or Jesse James. Sure, Le'Veon Bell's going to be there and you're going to start him, but you have to start Antonio Brown, but you're not going to feel good about it. That's why I just have no interest in getting into it in DFS. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even like him first overall, but what was I going to do? Beckham had a big game, but it's been a weird year for wide receivers this year in the NFL. The trend of wide receivers and quarterbacks, how's that working out for people right now?
Wide receivers were the most important thing. Everyone was their safest. But now the safest two players, Ezekiel Elliott and David Johnson.
Yeah, all right, we got to get out of here. Always a pleasure, Greg.
Thank you, Gabe.
We'll come back with our plays of the day next. It's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off on the Major League Baseball diamond. Listen, the last 28 times in championship series in Major League Baseball, a team had a 2-0 series lead. They've won 25 of them, all right? So history's already against the Toronto Blue Jays, but they need to win this game tonight. They were in the same spot last year. Listen, I don't want to lay the 75 cents. I'm not happy about laying the price, but it's kind of like the last bet of the year on the Jays. They don't win tonight. This thing's over. I think they do find a way to get it done with Stroman tonight. The unders are 3-1 so far in the Championship League series. Let's go under 8.5. I have my trepidation about this, but I think it squeezes under the number. Give me the Jays and the under. NFL football tonight. I don't want to lay the 7.5 with the Cards, so I'm going to tease the Cardinals. I think they're going to find a way to win this game, but I'm not in love with it. I'm not going to stand and tell you it's a great lock or anything, but let's tease the Cards to the over. I do think there are going to be some points in this game, so let's take the over here. Over 45.5, I think we can get. Listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a moron and he's terrible, but I didn't realize he's actually from Arizona. He's from Phoenix, in fact. It's like a homecoming for him. And since he's been so bad, we get to buy low. Over 21.5 completions, he's had that in 3 of the 5 games, and in one of the games he had 20. Over 240.5 yards, he's had that in 3 of the 5 games. He came close in the one that he didn't there. Long field goal, I like it better if it was 43.5, but it's 45.5. Small play on the long field goal, and we wrap it up with some NHL hockey. Dun, 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 dun. Sharks win. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.